Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Tuesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner at Paul Jones Drug Care. You can trust right here in the Elk City area. We'll be telling you all about Paul Jones Drug as we move along throughout the show today. Coming up, I've got a comparison, something that Jim touched on at the end of the show yesterday. Just the absurdity of sports, the absurdity of the world leaking into sports. I've got a comparison to kind of highlight, I think, the point Jim was trying to make with the Jack Del Rio fine, people calling for his job, and just to compare what he was talking about and try to. Because unfortunately, a lot of people don't know half of these numbers. They know some of them. Actually, they don't even know any of these numbers because they're not told truthfully on either side of what it is. And I have them right here in front of me. And we'll just compare the situations and kind of highlight why that was so ridiculous, what happened to Jack Del Rio and having to give up $100,000 of his money for just speaking truth. College World Series field has been set with a couple of games yesterday. Who's the favorite? Is there a favorite? Do we have to start the show off by chanting SEC? SEC? And the year of the unseeded teams. I've seen it since 1999 in the seeding process that's going on now. There's been 32 instances where a non-seeded team has made it to Omaha. Four of those were this year. Or four out of 31. So a huge kind of anomaly there. Game 5 of the NBA Finals last night. Whew. See, I think that's the Andrew Wiggins that Kansas fans thought they were getting way back when. Is it Golden State's defense or Boston's offense? Is it over? And if it is over, how much does this win increase the legacy of those three major, the three guys, the mainstays there at Golden State, which is Steph, Clay, and obviously Draymond Green? Boy, I tell you what, just about the time you kind of think to yourself, you know what, the Warriors are fun. They're not that bad. You actually watch them play, and Draymond Green or Steve Kerr, it's hard to not dislike them, or at least for me. Thunder made a trade yesterday after we got off the air. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? We'll talk about that. And anything else that's on you guys' mind as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. It's 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. A couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. Download the app. Paragon Communications app is free. It's got it all. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will be hitting the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com. It's also got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. When the high school sports are going, it's right there at your fingertips for the live stream. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast, if you missed the show entirely, you go back and check that out. KADSAM.com or iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, you might as well subscribe, and then you're alerted each and every day when a new podcast drops. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Windblown already.
Little windy.
Just got here.
Little breezy. Well, what else is new? That's Oklahoma.
Hot and windy. You guys playing softball tonight?
Yeah. They've released the new schedule since the Sunday stuff happened. So, yeah, playing tonight at 6, and regardless win-loss, it's, I forget, 8:30, 8:20.
So like playing that. More than one tonight, no matter what.
Guaranteed, yeah.
Or the opposite, playing one tonight, no matter what.
What's that?
We're just playing one tonight, just, no matter what.
No matter what, win, loss, yep. Playing one.
Just an Uno.
Yep. So that's what we're doing, and then we'll continue it on Thursday. Wrap it up on Thursday.
Oh, you're going clear to Thursday. Skipping Wednesday or Tuesday?
Skipping Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Tuesday and Thursday is how this is going to work.
I think we're Tuesday and Wednesday.
What's that?
I think we're Tuesday and Wednesday.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. I didn't study other than what we're doing. I didn't study if there is Wednesday in there for loser's bracket. I don't think there is, though. Pretty confident there is not.
Also seemingly pretty confident you're not going to have to worry about it.
I'll admit, a little worried about the first game we got tonight. Solid squad in Navajo. Very good.
Very replay. Good.
Really?
Yep.
Really. Yeah, we got them in the preseason tournament final and had to hold on to win. Got a lead, then they came back and chipped away, and we won by a run, and it was a little we expect them to have gotten better, and we hope we have too. So that first game tonight should be a doozy. A lot of respect for them. It's the, and I'm sorry, his name escapes me, and I'm gonna find it. I'm told the high school baseball coach coaches this girls' team.
Weston. Winters.
Yeah. So, anyway, they're a good squad. Should be a fun game. Fun game one. And then, depending on the outcome, get the winner or loser of Eric and Cheyenne on the other side. Always fun.
So now, do you have to place a certain spot to advance to the state tournament?
Top four.
Are you already in the top four? Or are there other teams in the loser's bracket that are coming back to play?
I don't think that's solidified. There's smarter people than me that know that. Yes, this is a semifinal, but
I'm guessing you have to win one more game, no matter when it is.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. You win the first one, then you're in the final, and you can't go down further than third.
Right. Right.
If you lose both, then you could conceivably get fifth or sixth.
Yes.
Would be my guess. You have to win one of these two.
Yeah. So that's how that works. But we put in a little work last night in the barn. The girls did, and they seem confident. I'm sure all the parents and coaches are a little nervous for these kids. But it should be fun. Shouldn't be as hot. At least this wind will help cool us off.
Are we sure about that?
I don't know. You get sweaty enough, that wind kind of...
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So, well, we'll see what happens. What's your scenario like?
Play one game no matter what tonight.
Right.
Win, you're in the finals waiting for games tomorrow. There's two games at six, which are elimination games. And then the winners of those two games will play again tonight. And then we'll play tonight. Win, you're just waiting. Lose, you'll play the first game tomorrow against whoever, you know, those.
Right.
The two games that are played, those winners will play, and whoever wins that plays the loser of our game. So.
Yeah, look at those brackets. Just Tuesday, Thursday for us, no matter what.
Okay, so we're Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah, Navajo's who we play too. That was by far the, well. Yeah, it's like a hairdryer out there. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, yeah. I always think of it like a.
Like an oven.
Like an oven. Like
a convection oven.
Yeah. Or you know that sound that pellet grill makes when it's,
yeah, uh-huh.
You know, I imagine it's a lot of hot air. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Navajo's good. No matter what the age and no matter girls or boys, it seems like they're pretty good at all of it. They're kind of in the mix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're in the mix in a lot of those different ages. So it's going to be fun. You're right. It won't be as hot. Hopefully not. I mean, we don't play till 7:45, so hopefully, 7:45. I think that's right. 7:30. Anyway, surely by then it'll cool off a little bit. Last night NBA Finals Game 5. It's a weird game.
If I'm Boston, I'm terrified right now.
I don't know why you'd say that. They played one good quarter and they blew them out in the third. The rest of it, they were terrible. Absolutely terrible. And the question to me is, okay, why was their offense so bad? Is Golden State just the greatest offensive defensive team of all time? Or is it just Boston not executing on offense?
I think a little of both, honestly. But I think the execution thing is the bigger thing for me.
I mean, it's hard. I don't care how good you are. It's hard to win a game in basketball, much less at this level, when you turn the ball over 18 times and your opponent turns it over 6. And that has been the one common denominator in every one of these games. Whoever's won the turnover battle, which we hear that in football all the time.
True.
Basketball, maybe not quite as much the case, but it has been in all 5 of these games. Whoever has turned the ball over least has won.
I've never noticed that.
I got to give credit to Pat Jones for saying that yesterday. I assume he looked it up. That's what he said. And that was certainly the case last
night.
I
doubt he remembered it, but go ahead.
Yeah. But last night, I mean, it was brutal. And I know why you're going to say what you just said. Because you got Steph Curry to have a terrible game, and Golden State still won.
Well, as a team, shooting the 3, Golden State was bad. As a team, and they still won. I mean, that's what any novice fan will tell you.
Yeah, so that's wrong.
What?
Golden State turned it, or Boston turned it over more in Game 3, and they won.
Ah.
Anyway.
Shocker. Pat's wrong. But back to my point, when they're shooting 9 of 40 from outside, and they can still win. And that probably is more reflective of Boston not executing, to go back to your question.
They were just so bad.
That's an opportunity missed. When you had Golden State just not shooting well from outside, you got Curry not really playing that. I mean, he played good.
He did not make a 3.
But he did make a 3, but I mean, I won't say he played bad. But
he wasn't.
But then you got Wiggins.
Let me ask you this. I'm sick of this. He hasn't been the best player on his team.
No.
Or the most valuable one. It's clearly Wiggins.
Sure. Yes.
Clearly been Wiggins. Now, Curry's been incredible, and he's set these marks that he's going to win the MVP. I mean, he might win the MVP if they lose, because Boston hasn't had anybody. Tatum and Brown. Tatum shot 10 of 20. Didn't feel like it, though, right? I mean, at the end of the game, he's throwing up air balls. When you really need him to make a basket, he's throwing up air balls. You know, Boston, what happened between – because normally in this series and, heck, in the playoffs – it's been Golden State that's dominated the third quarter to the tune of, like, historically the best third quarter team in any playoff run. Last night, Boston flipped that script, outscored them 35-24, took the lead. And then it was just like, womp, womp. Marcus Smart started acting a fool there for the first couple minutes of the fourth quarter. Got the crowd in it, got, you know, flopped once. Didn't get the call, left Clay wide open, and of course he knocked down the 3 from the left wing. And then that was just kind of it, because Boston didn't they didn't have enough offense to get back in it. They got nothing off the bench. 10 points. Whereas Golden State is getting 15 from Gary Payton, getting 14 from Jordan Poole. So the Boston bench guys outscored 31-10. It was just dismal for what really felt like maybe even a must-win game, because you can't have a ton of faith in them going back and winning a game 7 on the home floor of Golden State. So it was just right from the jump. Boston, and, you know, I get it. Steph was 7 of 22, 0 for 9. I mean, outside of Klay Thompson, and Poole, those two guys combined for 8 of 17, so right at 50%. Everybody else was abysmal from 3. And Boston lets it slip because they can't execute on offense. Just, man, if you're a Celtics fan, you can't be feeling very good right about now, because, you know, that feels like, okay, that was your game.
It was. I said yesterday it felt like game. A must win. I know that, and again, it's the finals. Every win, every game's a must win. But in the pivotal sense of a series, You had to take that one. You had to. It just feels like an opportunity squandered with the way Golden State played, and Boston couldn't capitalize on that.
Yeah, here we go. On the text line, Tatum and Brown stunk it up in the second half. I mean, dropped an egg. That's exactly right. You know, Tatum kind of got it going in the second quarter, into the first quarter, through the second quarter, to get the Celtics, or kind of just to keep them from getting blown out, really. And then the third quarter run that Boston made took a lead. But, I mean, they couldn't stop Andrew Wiggins. When in the world has that ever been said?
True.
Somewhere in Canada in high school?
Yeah.
But they couldn't. He was fantastic. Second game in a row with a double-double, 26 and 13. First time in his career that he's led his team in points and rebounds in a playoff game. And he was sensational. They had no answer for Andrew Wiggins. So is it over?
It feels like it could be. It feels like going back to Boston that the Celtics could be incredibly desperate and doing some desperate things. And this is where Golden State, they're used to being. You know, having a lead in the finals. It feels that way. I mean, going back to it's like this in the history of the sport, and you mentioned the numbers yesterday of Game 5 winners. So it's hard to say that it's
22 of 30.
So I'm just leaning on the side of history and numbers. Yeah, it feels like it could be over. Absolutely. What do you think?
No, I don't think it's over.
Still a chance because for Boston?
I think
to extend this in
ways? Yeah, I do. I definitely do. Because I think they're better. I think they're the better team. But Golden State has been able at the key moments in a lot of these games to really turn up the defensive pressure to where it makes you start. There's times where it's like, man, the Celtics are just so much more physical and so much bigger. And, you know, Golden State just can't really compete with them, with those little guys out there. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a big guy that matters, you know, type thing.
Yeah.
And then there's other times where you're looking around and Golden State's got them on lockdown defensively, and you think, feels like Boston's like four guys short. You know, like they've got Tatum, Brown's playing terrible, or, you know, or vice versa. Marcus Smart can't really shoot. Golly, who are these other guys out there on the floor? It's so strange how that works.
Aaron, I got to interrupt. We got some breaking news.
Okay.
This is incredible. There is a guy right now climbing the Devon Tower.
Oh, dear.
Untethered, straight up climbing the Devon Tower. It's all over the news right now.
Oh, no. Why would he be doing such a thing?
I don't know. We just talked about the wind. Oh, man, this is clearly... Oh, okay, well, he's a professional because he has the chalk bag, like those free climbers to have.
Okay.
So he is a professional. That, I mean, I'm assuming. Wow. We'll keep an eye on this situation.
See, this is the part of this that I don't want to see him fall dead.
Well, this is what's crazy is that they got a camera just fixated on him. Surely they got a finger on the button to turn off the camera or if he slips. But he watching him climb, it's clear he knows how to do this or he's done this before.
I wonder what he's doing it for.
What that? Oh, my goodness. Dude, they just panned back. He's on the upper third of this building right now. It's not like he just started. Police are everywhere on the ground. Guys, get in the elevator. Get to the top.
Yeah, well, or...
Surely there are. I mean, guys look like Spider-Man.
I wonder why he's doing this.
There has to be some kind of statement he's making, right?
There normally is.
Wow, this is wild. I found it on News9's Twitter, if you want to watch it.
Say news okay.
I'm gonna have it screen up on the side at all times.
So if all of a sudden you just go, ah! Does that mean he fell?
It didn't look like he had kind of a backpack or parachute on.
Oh, maybe that's what he's going to do, climb to the top and then jump off and parachute down.
Like Batman or something?
It'd be a smart move because guess what?
What's that?
With the wind blowing the way it's blowing, he'd probably land in Kansas and get away with it.
That's true.
What will be the charges that are levied against him?
I guess there's going to be some kind of trespassing charge.
Scaring the pants off of everybody?
Police are sending up a drone.
Oh, yeah.
What's the drone going to do? Just look at him? Man, wild. Well, again, we'll watch this.
God, I can't wait. This is fascinating because why would he do it?
Oh, we'll hear. By the end of the day, we're going to hear some cause. Absolutely, we will.
Yeah, here it is. Person climbing. Looks kind of young.
Yep.
It's like a younger fella. Anyhow.
Okay. Weird. People are strange.
All right, so what would this win do for the legacy? How much could it enhance the legacy of the core three there at Golden State with Curry?
Well, it adds to
Thompson
it.
Yeah. And Draymond.
It adds to it. I think that legacy, I think, has been solidified already. Don't you think?
For two of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But not necessarily for Draymond.
Well, if they go on to win this thing with his dismal performances, that could hurt his legacy, don't you think?
Yeah, he's pretty good last night.
Yeah. So, but again, I think those three, two.
Those but, I mean, it's going to be all three of them because they're going to be the three that were there for all four now.
True.
Titles. I mean, I think this guarantees Draymond Green will be a Hall of Famer, which there's no way in the world he should be. But I do think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the next question is, you know, with the way Wiggins is playing, you know, does this dynasty continue? With him, you know what I mean? Because these guys are getting up, I don't say get up there in age, but in athletic terms, he's getting up. They are getting up there. And there's going to be a point where they're going to start questioning the longevity of this dynasty. Well, if Wiggins can continue to elevate his game and they add pieces around him.
Yeah, I mean, no offense.
I mean, but he's no.
No offense to Andrew Wiggins, but he ain't doing that without Steph Curry and Klay Thompson out on the floor with him.
Absolutely. But look at the bridge, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he ain't the bridge. But what he does is he's good enough clearly right now to be able to continue to help those guys win. We thought it might have to be Kuminga. He doesn't play. You know, Looney's been a guy that they drafted at the. That I think that's the amazing part about this is a majority of these guys they've drafted, and honestly, the ones they've tried to fill around in. I mean, outside of Wiggins, and Wiggins was a failure for a while. Until this series, now he's seemingly the greatest pickup of all time. But it's been drafted guys. It's been Looney. It's been Jordan Poole. You know, and Moody and Kuminga showed some good things during the regular season. And maybe this does help. Maybe Andrew Wiggins can be the bridge between playing with Steph and them and playing with, you know, if Moody and Kuminga and Wiseman. We don't even talk about him. He was the number two overall pick a couple years ago, and I saw a report where he's finally maybe going to be healthy for the summer activities and be ready to go for next year. So maybe that's the way he can be a part of both of them. But he's not going to be the guy on any of these teams. He's just not. He's not that guy. But he sure could be a part of, you know, something special. You know, and start getting, you know, building more of a legacy for him than maybe how the quality of player he is because of the teams he's on. We've seen that throughout history. You know, there's all kinds of ancillary parts to the Bulls teams or the Celtics or the Lakers or whoever. You know, J.R. Smith. Nobody knew who he was except for Oh, yeah, he played with LeBron a whole bunch of times. You know, so there's a lot there that it looks like the Warriors. And I think another thing about them is, didn't it kind of feel like the end in 2019? Klay's hurt, Durant's hurt, and leaving.
It kind of felt like that's it. Yeah,
that's the end of the 30-30 documentary.
That was it.
What could have been, except for injuries and defections and Kawhi Leonard, you know?
Right.
And instead, fast forward a couple of years, and here they are. With healthy, older guys, but doesn't really look like they're slowing down.
Yeah, and you mentioned Kawhi. I mean, you're right. That's so funny you say that. That's when Toronto took him down, and Kawhi Leonard was the king of basketball. And then, boom, he goes to the Clippers, and then Paul George is acquired. I'm like, well, that might be the start of the next one, and it hasn't materialized yet. And yet, here's Golden State still doing it. Crazy.
It is.
It's kind of crazy.
It really kind of is. Thunder make a trade yesterday. It's in the 30th pick and a couple of future second rounders to Denver, pick up J. Michael Green, and then also a 2027 protected first rounder. Does this even matter? Will he ever play for Oklahoma City?
I think that's the first. I mean, it made sense, I think, before I read any breakdown of the trade, I thought, that makes sense, because all I've heard was, I don't think the Thunder want to take on three first-round contracts immediately.
Guaranteed contracts,
yeah,
if you make all the picks.
And there's always that talk of them moving pick, or picks even. There's been rumblings of that, of trying to get two top five picks. But so, yeah, that makes sense. Now, will he play? Who knows? I mean, he's an okay player. You add size for your lineup. I think the bigger acquisition was those future picks from Denver, and it's Presti banking on, and this is where I've read the analysis, so forgive me if I'm wrong, but banking on Denver at the time to get the picks not being so good. And so they could be some high-quality picks at that time. Was that 2027?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So it made sense, I think, for both parties. It did, because Denver still wants to be relevant, so they want another first-rounder in there to help Jokic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him, because he seems like a player that's like 3 years away from being somebody the Thunder need. A useful player that can kind of help you in the playoffs. Well, that's not where the Thunder are. And so are they able to move? Does this set up something else trade-wise heading into the draft here in a couple of weeks? Is he going to be or does he kind of go, okay, or the Thunder think, okay, let's play him for the first half of the year and see if we can't bolster his worth with him playing well for us, and then at the trade deadline get something even better than we could right now, you know, pre-draft. I think it's an interesting thing. I would guess he never even puts on the uniform, that he shipped out with some kind of deal on draft night,
mm-hmm.
or leading up to draft night or what have you. But that could be a possibility that we see him for the first part of the year. He plays well, and then somebody that needs – a guy, you know, Dallas seems like a good spot. Memphis, you know, some of those teams that are up and coming and are looking to kind of bust their way through the Western Conference, or either conference, it doesn't make any difference, but just in the playoffs, it seems like that might be a good spot for him, outside of just, you know, being a Thunder. But I think you're right. The pick later on is why you the truth is, Denver had to make some kind of move because of the contract situation they're in with Jokic and with Murray, and then also Michael Porter Jr. is going to need a bunch of money. So they're trying to cut their luxury tax bill, and guess what? For the Thunder to do that, what do you got to do? Attach a pick.
Yep.
So I think this is where Oklahoma City's in a really good spot because of all the space they have cap-wise, where they can take on a quote-unquote bad contract, especially a short-term bad contract, and also extract some sort of other asset, some sort of draft asset, especially first-round picks from these teams that are desperate to try to cut their payroll down so they won't be so far into the luxury tax. So this may not be the first type of these moves that then we see Oklahoma City flip guys for later on down the line.
Right. Climbing man update. It scared me. They cut the feed.
Uh-oh.
But they went to the helicopter feed.
Okay.
He's getting closer to the top.
Jim Gardner.
So this is wild.
Jim Gardner's on the scene.
He pans back. That building we know is huge.
Yes.
To see him on the side of it, he's at the very thing near vast top area.
Oh, my gosh. What were you at?
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
Skinny on sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Rodney Skinner down there at Paul Jones Drug. Care you can trust at 809 North Main Street here in Elk City. They're the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City. Free local delivery, drive-through pickup window, also curbside testing and vaccinations. Much, much more that we'll continue to tell you about Paul Jones Drug throughout the show today. All right, so the College World Series. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, Jared. Hashtag men's College World Series.
MCWS. I saw that for the first time a couple days ago.
I mean, what?
We know. did you watch any games yesterday?
I'm sorry. I'm fascinated by the climber now.
The climber is crazy.
There's people up there. Are those cops, I'm sure, that are waiting for him to get there? Yes, I watched a few innings of the Auburn-Oregon State game.
I turned on UConn-Stanford, and UConn came out a-blazing.
Yeah, it was 3-0 early. I've watched the score, and then Stanford started bludgeoning them.
Yeah, they could have. UConn is one of those scenarios where what if? Because they had runners on. They could have added to that in that first inning. They knocked out their starting pitcher in 14 pitches, Stanford's starting pitcher. And they could have added more to that, but they couldn't. But, you know, you get a three spot in the first inning, you're feeling pretty good about yourself if you're UConn. But Stanford's still Stanford, 2 seed. So it wasn't a shock to see that they had to turn it off when it was like 3-2. But, you know, I know we'll go into this about being the favorite. They could be based on their seed. But I think I've seen some odds already. Have you?
I heard him talking about the odds. Stanford is one of only 3 teams ever to score 8-plus in all 3 super regional games, joining Rice and somebody. I can't remember who the other team was. They obviously, here it is right here. Oregon State in 2005 and Rice in 1999. I would think that they are the favorite, actually. But I think the odds tell us Texas is, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I saw, which I thought was kind of odd. Would you bet on Texas? I wouldn't bet on anybody because the thing's wide open.
You know, Texas is, if you go with who's hot, I mean, they won the last 2 against ECU. I don't know how that's one of, outside of Stanford, because they are the highest seed left. I think outside, if you're not going to pick them, then you can just put everybody else in a hat, right?
Right.
Or do you go with the theory of, who should have been good and they're finally being good, aka Arkansas? You know, Ole Miss, or and Texas would fall into that category. of the teams that were really ranked high. And then they kind of had some struggles, but now here they are playing the ball that everybody thought they were. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Is it that theory? So I think if you don't think Stanford is the favorite, then yeah, at that point it's wide open. I mean, do you subscribe to the, well, Notre Dame beat Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, they're the giant killers.
By the way, that 1999 Rice Owl team.
Mm-hmm.
Elk City native Justin Smith fanned 12 of them at Omaha.
Nice.
For the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, I don't know. This all plays into it's wide open. I still feel, you know, even though the number two seed is there, but you saw Auburn get in. They're a lower seed. And speaking of seeding, and we mentioned that, you mentioned at top of the hour about a bunch of unseeded teams getting in. Did they get it right or wrong in the seeding?
Well, I mean, who the hell else is going to be number one?
That's true.
You know what I mean? That's, I saw, golly, it was like 5 of the last 8 years, the number one seed hasn't made it to Omaha, but it only happened twice in like the first 15. So maybe it speaks more to parity within the game. But, I mean, who else was going to be the one seed? It had to be Tennessee.
Yeah, it was Tennessee and everybody else. I couldn't even tell you who. All year long, it was Tennessee is the best baseball team in college baseball right now.
Yeah, and then everybody else is behind
them. And
then
everybody else. I didn't know Stanford was number two.
Here's what I think is part of it.
I would have assumed it would have been another SEC team.
I think part of it is teams like Arkansas and Ole Miss didn't play very well in the regular season, but they're very good teams.
Yep.
And so now you see them as – I mean – it. Honestly, I just assumed Arkansas was going to be a seed because they were number two early in the year. With before they were put in the Stillwater Regional, I didn't realize how they had kind of taken the gas down the stretch. And then you look, then you start looking at it, you're like, whoa, what happened? But they're still a really good team. And I think that may be part of it. Is some of these, the Ole Misses and the Arkansas's, you know, Texas was still a seed, but they should have hosted. They should have never been on the road without faltering in the Big 12 conference schedule. So they, maybe it's a function of some of these really good teams just didn't live up to their regular season expectations. But now when it gets condensed like this, and it's baseball, you know, think about for OU. How much it helps to have Bennett on the hill. Guess what? In the playoffs, in the regionals, the super regionals, back into the tournament, when you can not guarantee, but feel really good about winning that first game, the stress it takes off of your staff is immense.
Oh yeah.
And then when Horton throws like he's thrown the last three outings in the Big 12 title game, in the regional against Florida, and then in game three of the supers. Man, that's just – it's such a luxury to be able to have that if you're OU and other teams, I'm sure, as well. But that just – I think a lot of it's not necessarily, golly, they totally misseeded. I think there's just some teams that were where they should have been that were good because they didn't play the way they should have played during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I'm looking at you, Arkansas. You know, Ole Miss, like Jim said, their coach was about to get fired earlier in the year. Now they're in the College World Series. You know, just
allegedly there's an ultimatum on Skip Johnson.
That's right. You know, I mean that's the thing. OU wise, I mean, at what point did you think, you know what, this team might make it to Omaha?
Ninth inning Sunday.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, even after winning the Big 12 tournament, it was like, damn, now they got to go to Gainesville, Florida. That can't be a good place to go.
Right. We've seen it 1,000 times, right? We've seen them get to the postseason and then fizzle out.
Well, and you know what else? It also feels like teams that go through their conference tournaments like OU did, a lot of times that's a detriment to them. From a just pitching wise,
right?
You know, but not Oklahoma and Texas. As it turns out, those two were in the final, and here they are in Omaha. So do we start the SEC chant now or later?
It is kind of cold. It feels like SEC preview when you have Arkansas, A&M, OU, and Texas in it. Isn't that a hypothetical pod?
Nah, I haven't seen all those together.
You haven't seen those four mm-hmm. together?
No.
But
seen Oklahoma and Arkansas, and haven't seen A&M.
I think Missouri.
Yeah, I hadn't seen A&M there. With them.
But that is, I think it's kind of cool. It kind of feels like an SEC preview, and maybe a good things to come if you're OU or Texas, as far as they're being in the SEC on the baseball side. It's cool. I mean, I'm not going to start chanting SEC by any means. I've never been one to beat my chest, Big 12, Big 12. It's just not in our nature as Big 12 guys. Maybe we got to get used to that.
See, it's not – I think the easiest way – it's not in the nature because the team you root for rules the Big 12. So why in the world do you need to chant the conference's name?
Right.
Is the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you see a whole bunch of Alabama fans chanting SEC.
Right now?
Yeah. The hell do they care about the SEC? Yeah. They're winning it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's more for the A&Ms of the world. The Arkansas of the world.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah. I don't know if Vanderbilt cares enough to chant it. More A&M. The A&M's the perfect pawn in the game, SEC yeah. game alive.
So day one when they took the first snap, I mean, their whole stadium's going crazy, yeah. SEC, SEC.
Now, here's the question. I don't think there's any doubt that A&M fans will beat their chest if either A&M, Ole Miss, Auburn, or Arkansas win this College World Series.
Oh, yeah. What about if it's OU or Texas?
That's my question. Will they still beat the SEC drum?
See, that's why they're coming to our conference, because they're good.
I mean, there is no chance they're doing it for UT.
Of the eight that are in, where would you – probably you'd have to sit down and think about it. I don't know. Where would you rank – how would you rank them? Like if there's a top eight.
Like
I guess the bigger question is, where would you put Texas? Where would you put OU?
I'd put Texas way higher than OU. It may be silly to do this, but I think OU is at the bottom of this.
They still feel on like the underdog.
On paper. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
On paper. But you can't quantify how hot they've been. That's the deal. You just can't quantify how blazing hot they've been since that Bedlam series.
They're probably wishing it started today.
I don't think they care.
Keep that rolling.
I mean, they've done it for 2 months now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know that everyone thought that after the second series win. You know what I mean? Like way back in April. Golly, they hate to take a week off here. Oh, never mind. We won the Big 12 tournament. Golly, I wish you could play tomorrow. Never mind. I went down to Gainesville and won. You know, and I think they're pitching, if the starting pitching can continue the way it has, and though it has been awesome, that's the one thing that maybe bumps them up a little bit. But if you look, so it's Oklahoma A&M.
Climbing Man has cuffs on.
He gone.
He tried to go to the very top, but he realized they're at the very top.
Yeah, you can't go.
The very top.
Yeah, he had to go to the side there where there was a platform.
So he is off the – well, he's not off the building. He's off the side of the building and arrested.
Yeah, he is – I'm watching.
Or detained, probably arrested.
I'm going to say arrested. Okay, so we've got – so on one side on Friday, OU and A&M at 1 o'clock, Notre Dame and Texas at 6. So that's like their side. And so then the other side is what? Oregon State – or I'm sorry, Auburn, Ole Miss, Arkansas – and Stanford. And Stanford plays Arkansas. Auburn plays Ole Miss. So I guess to your question, I'll ask you this one. Who do you expect to be in the championship series?
That goes back to who do we think is the favorite.
Right.
I will lean Stanford. You know, that's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then, help me out, without looking, I can't find it.
Notre Dame, Texas, OU, or A&M?
Texas. It feels like Texas is on the easier side of this thing. So I'll say Stanford and Texas. My third favorite team would probably be Arkansas.
I got Arkansas.
You got them in there?
I got Arkansas and A&M. God, what a terrible series that would be for my enjoyment. Two of my least favorite groups of folks on the internet are those two fan bases. I think Arkansas-Texas would be a lot of fun. Arkansas-OU would be a lot of fun. Just for what's coming. It would be a lot of fun. If it's OU or Texas, could this be the... Is Arkansas about to pull a Syracuse 0-3 and just buzz through the Big 12?
Anything's possible. Think of, this is baseball.
I know.
And
it'll probably be Notre Dame and Mississippi.
It's like we've gone all this talk about who's our favorite, whatever, and then we have little old Notre Dame. And some would say, wow, they're in there. Notre Dame? You don't think of Notre Dame in baseball. But they're in there. And they're in there because they beat the number one team, the number one seed. So kind of hard not to maybe talk about them. Are they one of the hottest teams right now? That's, again, it just shows you how wide open this thing really could be. How much chance do you give OU at 1 o'clock on Friday?
A bunch, because of who they're throwing. Bennett's been awesome.
Yeah.
And honestly, the odds that I saw was 900 to 1. Or 900, plus 900, 9 to 1. I think that's a pretty good bet. Considering everything that's happened, that, you know, Vegas has OU is kind of at the bottom of the barrel as far as the eight teams that are left. But if you get that kind of odds for the way who this team has kind of gone through and the way they've gone through them, that's pretty good. It's pretty good odds. And especially, I mean, it's looking way, way forward, but, you know, some teams are kind of built to play the double elimination part of it, and some teams are built for the series. I think OU is built to play a series because of the arms that they can throw out there. Would you put any thought into, with the way Horton's thrown as your three, moving him up in the order?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you're going to do anything you can to win. I would highly consider it.
Especially if you can't beat A&M.
Right.
Especially then.
Oh, yeah.
If you beat A&M, then maybe you have the luxury of holding him back. But if you lose that first game, that's got to cross Skip Johnson's mind to think, wait a minute, this guy has been lights out three straight starts against quality opponents. Are we really going home from Omaha without giving him the ball?
Yeah. Best available, right? Why not? Can't play the what-if game.
No, but also there's a reason why he's been third and not second throughout the year. I get it or whatever, but that's got to – I think if OU loses to A&M, that's got to be a conversation that happens or a thought process to think about. Mm-hmm. If they win, maybe not as much. All starts Friday, 1 o'clock, OU-A&M, first game of the World Series. Notre Dame and Texas that night at 6, and then the other side on Saturday. We'll be back.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
It's a long question.
The question, maybe our listener would know, has a school ever won the Women's College World Series and the College World Series in the same year? Because OU has that opportunity of doing that. And kudos to OU and Texas, both putting men and women in the College World Series, both softball, baseball. I'm sure that's happened plenty of times. Sure. But has anyone been double winners in this thing?
Yeah, I think you brought up the two most likely candidates.
UCLA and...
UCLA and Arizona. Duke.
I don't feel like Duke would be in that conversation.
Maybe they're talking about basketball. That could UConn's definitely done it in basketball.
Oh, sure. Baseball, did UCLA win it in 13?
No team has done it yet.
Can't find it?
No team has done it yet.
You got an answer?
I'm getting an answer. It hasn't happened yet. Yeah,
you would have thought one of those West Coast, when you know the UCLA's, the Arizona runs that they went on, winning titles in softball, you would have thought baseball or
possible, yeah,
would have produced one too at the same year. Hasn't happened.
Well,
so there's that. There's a story.
No time
there.
Like the present.
Well, that'd be crazy, man. That'd be crazy. This baseball team has come out of nowhere. Never thought of that.
No.
Never thought of that. The talk of the town or the talk of the state was OSU, right?
For sure.
And nobody had OU in their in their conscious of thinking that they would go have a chance to go to Omaha.
I mean, I'm serious. You were kind of joking, but until they won that game the other night, it never really crossed my mind. Hey, this team's going to Omaha.
Oh, it's crazy.
On Sunday, like the last one. Oh, that means they go to Omaha. No way. What? Isn't there another round?
I did wake up Sunday thinking, okay, they win. Saturday happened. Like, okay, that's what I thought would happen. You know, and they gave an effort on Saturday to try to come back. What were they down? 5-0, and then they kind of came back, made it 5-2, 5-3. But, and then the way the game started Sunday, when they got up 2-0 like that, and then they tied it up, Virginia Tech did, and the way they just whittled it down and just –
They scored at least a run in all the last six innings.
But it was not sinking in until that ninth inning. Bottom of the ninth, that is.
No, because here's another problem with this team.
How many times have they blown up?
That's right. You're also remembering the finale of the series against Texas.
Or game two OSU.
OSU, yes. Yeah, and about huge leads they blew.
About the seventh inning. What were they up? 9-2. Yeah, and I thought to myself, this ain't over.
Mm-mm.
This
Virginia Tech would get one on and two out, and you're thinking, uh-oh, here we go.
You know what I did?
Turn the channel.
Around that time. I went to the Notre Dame, Tennessee game. I think I'm going to wrap this one up, and then I'll go back because I'm too nervous.
All right, so it's Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. You heard in the last commercial, convenience packaging. It's individual packaging of your daily meds. So instead of having the big, giant plastic tub that has a day on it and you have to fill it yourself, guess what? These are filled for you. So rip it open, take your meds. Individual packaging. That's convenience packaging there at Paul Jones Drug. Long-term care unit packaging as well. It's blister packs. They've got all the durable medical equipment from walkers to canes to crutches, wraps and braces, etc. They accept most insurances, but also it's not just medicine. There's gifts, there's greeting cards, all kinds of cool stuff. Down at 809 North Main Street, Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. Give them a call, 580-225-2121. All right, so I brought up the Jack Del Rio thing with Jim yesterday, and he was on the side that I certainly thought of, and that is this. First off, it's never happened that somebody's opinion has caused them to get a fine of $100,000. And I don't think there's any doubt maybe you have a different opinion on this, but I don't think there's any doubt if he'd have had the opposite opinion, he would have never been fined.
I'd agree with that.
And he called the Capitol thing a dust-up. It was probably more than that. It was a riot. There was a riot at the Capitol. But when you think about what the NFL itself, as an organization, as a league, what they have supported during that time, versus what the Capitol building riot really was. It's pretty interesting when you look at the numbers side by side. So we all remember in the summer of 2020, the riots that ensued from George Floyd. Black Lives Matter, Antifa riots that lasted all summer long, of which the NFL threw their support behind the organization that is Black Lives Matter. So you had over 500 riots supporting that versus the one at the Capitol. Those 500 riots lasted 7 months versus a couple of hours. Hundreds of small businesses were destroyed throughout the summer of 2020 versus zero at the Capitol. 150 plus federal buildings were damaged or destroyed versus one damaged. Somewhere between $1 billion and $2 billion worth of damage was caused versus $1.5 million. Over 2,000 police officers were assaulted in the summer of 2020 riots versus 140. And then here's where it gets interesting, and here's where the issues lie, I think. The folks that were perpetrating all those riots all summer long, a majority of them were bailed out of jail. There's still people in solitary confinement for walking into the Capitol and not really causing any harm. And oh, by the way, over 20 people were killed participating in those. One participant was killed in the Capitol. And that's where, to me, the problem is always going to lie, or at least it is going to be right now, because Jack Del Rio literally just had an opinion on a question he was asked. And because it was the wrong opinion by those in charge, it cost him $100,000. But not only that, if you read Ron Rivera's statement talking about why, it's not accurate.
What was his statement? Just sum it up.
That five people were killed during the riot. The January 6th thing. That's not true. Zero were. The only person who was killed was a protester. He's talking about police officers dying. They didn't die that day. It's not what happened. But no one in the media, because the media agrees with what happened, or a vast majority of it does, agrees with the fine. Heck, a bunch of them think you should be fired. But I was happy to see that even Ron Rivera said his apology was well received by the team. He had Jonathan Allen and Chase Young coming out in support of Jack Del Rio as I just want him to coach us. I don't care what he thinks about that stuff. When that used to be kind of where everybody was at, right?
Yeah.
Who cares? Let's coach. Let's play football. But when a bunch of these athletes are used as political pawns, either to their knowledge or not even realizing it's happening, then that's where you get situations like this, and the line gets so blurred one way. Another thing that's pretty interesting. Have you read the story? You know one of the guys that's at the forefront of all this and trying to be Mr. Political Athlete is LeBron.
He's thrown his two cents into this?
He hasn't thrown it into this. He hasn't thrown it. You know what else he hasn't thrown it into? A kid being murdered outside his school.
That's right, over in Akron.
Yeah. And three guys were arrested. You can make your. I'll let you draw your own own conclusions on why he hasn't mentioned this.
I'd have to. I mean, I've seen the headline. I'd have to look into it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it doesn't fit his narrative. It doesn't fit. What do you think about Jack Del Rio?
I think everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You don't have to agree with it, but he doesn't need to be fined because you don't agree with it. That's me. I think everybody is entitled to their own opinion. That was his opinion and his own. Show me in his contract that he couldn't give an opinion.
Right. And heck, maybe it
I mean, there are a lot of people out there that have opinions. I have a lot of family members and friends that have opinions that I don't agree with. But I'm not mad at them. I have to take myself out of the situation and go, that's their opinion. That's how they feel. I don't have to agree with it, but that's how they feel. And I'm not going to cut them off.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, and of all the teams.
Yeah, that's what.
Of all the teams.
That's the ironic thing about it.
They got all that stuff going on, but they're gonna fine Jack Del Rio $100,000 for this.
Yeah.
I think everybody isn't. That's at the end of the day. That's my opinion. Is everybody has their own opinion. What happened? And it just goes back to everyone's just soft. So,
it's allowed though. That's the problem. Nothing is going to happen because the folks that would step in and change it agree. And so as long as you agree, you can do whatever you want. But the first time you don't toe the company line, bam, your opinion costs you $100,000. Sad. Everybody have a great Tuesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.